the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio. OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
So Mike Carlson is with us now after Wild Card Weekend, which was relatively wild. Mike, good morning to you.
Good morning. Yes, it was super wild card weekend, although it took the last game to really make the point, I guess. All that was super about it was that you had one extra game each day, thanks to the extra wild card teams. And it was funny because it's sort of the first two games on Saturday and Sunday sort of followed a pattern where the first games were really good and balanced and interesting, and the second games were really kind of struggles for the teams to get where they were going to go, and someone had to win it. And then the third games were really the fascinating ones with the big stories.
Yeah, so let's start. A lot of people just waking up this morning will be unfamiliar with the fact that somehow the Browns and the Steelers switched jerseys, and the Steelers were very Browns-esque, conceding on the highlights, it looked like, conceding a touchdown from their first snap where they were in possession and the center snaps the ball way over Big Ben's head, who ambles back and the ball squirts into the end zone where it's recovered for a touchdown from the Browns. And they had three more touchdowns by the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, that was one of those good ones where at 28-0 in the first quarter, I decided to go to bed thinking to myself, I'm either going to get a decent night's sleep or I'm going to miss the greatest comeback in playoff history. But it didn't look like a comeback was on the cards. You remember that Super Bowl in New York City with Denver and Baltimore, where Denver's first play from scrimmage, they snapped it over Peyton Manning's head. And you said Ben ambled back. Peyton creaked back trying to get it. And it was all downhill from there. I think there were two things going on. And one was when you make a horrible start like that, obviously you've dug yourself into a hole and you need to come back out from it quickly. But then Ben threw two interceptions. They had a horrible penalty, taking back a good gain. And they could not stop Cleveland offensively. It looked like they looked like a team that had just flown in from the West Coast to the East Coast, and their body clocks were 3 hours behind. And it took them till the second half to even get back to a semblance of normal. And you know, I watched the highlights as well this morning. A couple of times they had it back to a two-score game, but they still couldn't really stop Cleveland when it mattered. They still turned the ball over in the second half when they couldn't afford to. It was a shocker. And there are some who would argue that since Coach Kevin Stefanski was not there because of COVID, you don't need a coach. You know, it's like put the special teams guy in charge and let's do what we want to do. And that's kind of the way it played out.
Or practice, or half your team being available to you for the previous 10 days. It finished 48-37. For Cleveland to arrive and break the longest drought in terms of not being in the playoffs in such a long period of time, and then to beat their hated rivals, the Steelers, who have just bullied them as long as they've been in existence, is a fairly phenomenal turnaround.
Yeah, especially because in the last week of the season, Cleveland struggled to beat Pittsburgh when Pittsburgh had their B team out there, basically. Mason Rudolph at quarterback, a lot of other guys being rested, and Cleveland basically just squeaked by them. So this was obviously the shock result of the weekend. I had thought during the week when it was a 6-point spread that, you know, as long as the spread was under a touchdown, you should jump all over the Steelers. But it was Cleveland who jumped all over them.
For a losing franchise like Cleveland to get to the point where they're now a live contender who nobody really wants to face, what's happened? How did they get to this point? Because, you know, people will have seen the Believeland documentary. You were talking about it in the build-up. Obviously, the basketball team have finally broken the city's constant losing streak, and I don't know if there's any connection or symbiosis or whatever, but somehow the football team is finally capable of winning these games.
Yeah, I mean, they accumulated, you remember, they had a couple of really bad years where the management was accumulating draft picks. Then they fired the management and brought in new management. But they've used those picks well. There's quite a bit of talent on this team. They've got a good offensive line. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, who they picked up when the Chiefs cut him. And that writes the scenario for their, because they visit the Chiefs next Sunday. It'll be Kareem Hunt Bowl. You know, the defensively, they've got Garrett, who's one of the best pass rushers in the league, and a couple of other really talented guys. So they're a solid team, and I think they made a very smart move last year to bring in Kevin Stefanski from the Vikings, because he fits exactly what you need Baker Mayfield, their quarterback, to do in order to win. He's a guy who believes in play action, a play action offense. He's got the two running backs, so he can run play action. He can move Mayfield around. And Mayfield had a kind of roller coaster season. When he's been good, he's been very, very good. And it wasn't the case that he was that good yesterday, but, you know, Jarvis Landry ran over Pittsburgh. Nick Chubb ran over Pittsburgh. Kareem Hunt ran over Pittsburgh. The Steelers just weren't tackling and all, but Stefanski's a good match for that team. And, you know, I'm not sure that the Chiefs are all that worried about them, but it'll be an interesting game when they go to Arrowhead next week.
We were talking about Lamar Jackson earlier, Mike, and this sort of culture war that exists around him and the relief that seemed to pour out from social media last night that he actually got the job done, that he didn't go 0-3 in the playoffs because of all the hot takes that would have been incoming about this guy. Did you feel that sense of relief as well?
Yeah, I think anybody would when you saw him interviewed. He even brought it up, even though the reporter interviewing him said something like, you know, the framing of the game was a what would she say? It was a battle. It was a battle between you and Derrick Henry. And he said, no, it wasn't. That's not the way the game works. He said, oh, but that's the way it was framed. And he didn't know what to say. I think the thing with Lamar Jackson is that he's going to carry a team or not, but he is what he is. And I think that when we thought he was going to become a better passer, or he was a better passer, I think he was a better passer than people thought when they drafted him, but he hasn't really become a better passer as they go on, partly because that's not the way their system works. And Tennessee obviously came out to stop him from throwing, and he killed them with the run. They controlled him for a long time, but it was really two big plays from Lamar Jackson that turned that game around. And meanwhile, Baltimore are the Pittsburgh sort of this. They're what Pittsburgh want to be because they can run the ball. They ran it pretty well, and they can play defense, which Pittsburgh forgot to do on Sunday. And they basically decided, with their defense, we're going to stop Derrick Henry. We're going to sell out to stop Derrick Henry, and we're going to play Tennessee's receivers man to man. And okay, if you can beat us that way, go ahead and do it. And Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters had outstanding games in basically man coverage against Corey Davis, who went out hurt, but more importantly, AJ Brown, who's one of the best young receivers in the game, and that kind of took most of Tennessee's offense out of it. If they were going to win, it was going to be with Ryan Tannehill being Lamar Jackson, and he's not Lamar Jackson.
It's the Ravens at the Bills next week, and it's the Rams at the Packers on Saturday. Before I ask you about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and the gap between the two first seeds and the rest of these teams, for Buffalo as well, their performance was decent, not as amazing as it has been, but this is the playoffs, and I suspect that there was probably an institutional fear and hangover going on there a little bit that added to the psychological barriers they had to overcome for their game.
Yeah, and the other factor in that game is that Indianapolis is a better team than people think. I mean, you know, they were 11-5. They don't get a whole lot of credit for it. And you know, if Frank Reich, you know, for some reason hadn't decided to be Doug Peterson, that game might have been a little bit closer than it was. They also match up pretty well with Buffalo because they've got such good speed on defense. And I think it was for Buffalo, obviously a huge relief. There was some British British guy who tweeted that his father, who didn't follow American football, kind of walked in on him watching the game and said, you know, who's playing? Who should I support? And because the father's name is Bill, he decided to support the Bills. And when they won, he turned to his son and said, we've been waiting 26 years for this. Which was, I mean, that's really typical of how you can get into the game. The one thing that worries you about the Bills basically was that they weren't able to run the ball very well on Indianapolis, and they turned into the Steelers in a way because they were using short passes to the backs to make up for that lack of a run game. But they have Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley had a really great game, and Josh Allen, he won that game running as well. I mean, you know, as much as Lamar Jackson did, Allen had the big plays running to help them out. I think Diggs was probably the best offseason pickup of any team in the league. In free agency, and he's made a huge difference to that Bills team because they can attack you on every level, passing, short passes, passes to the backs, medium across the middle, and deep, because they have Gabriel Davis, the rookie, and John Brown, who didn't catch any passes that were thrown to him, and I think he's writing a ticket out of Buffalo if that continues. The other really interesting thing was that this was a penalty-free weekend for the most part, that they just weren't calling a lot of penalties unless you were Seattle in this weekend.
What about Tom Brady and how well his team and his accoutrement of stars played?
They played well enough, didn't they? And the big story of that game and what most of us were looking and saying, well, Washington's in there with a shot because they, you know, their one good skill on that team is rushing the passer. And that's Tom Brady's weakness if you do it correctly. If you can pressure him with only four and have enough guys back to make him take the extra time to decide where he's going to go, you can win. Chase Young had a very quiet day for Washington. I think his highlight was basically pointing out Taylor Heineke's name on the back of his jersey when Heineke had that tremendous 4-yard dive for a touchdown. And Leonard Fournette came up for the first time since he joined Tampa Bay, one of the big names. People were speculating if Mike Evans was going to play, and I don't think that was ever in doubt, because even if he was like 75%, he would have played. But he made a couple of big catches. And I think that this sets up next weekend's game with New Orleans pretty nicely, because New Orleans has beaten them in both games during the regular season. But Tampa's one of those teams that is come good in the last month of the season, and everything has been clicking for them. They've been a better offensive team, and they were over 500 yards of offense against Washington. So in this the last month of the season, they have become what they were supposed to be. And, you know, sure, Tom Brady's 42, but, you know, nowadays, you know, George Blanda was smoking and drinking, you know, in the locker room after the game and stuff. Guys looked older in those. My father looked 20 years older than I look when he was the same age. Not that means anything.
Sorry, I thought you were making the point that your father looked older than you in general terms, which I thought would have been a pretty normal thing to say anyway.
Yeah, he always did. Yeah.
have you seen, finally, Mike, have you seen anything to suggest that there is going to be anything but a Green Bay against Kansas City Super Bowl?
I wouldn't write the Ravens off right now, and I was saying that at the start of the season, and then for a while they faded away, and I thought that I think my original prediction was the Ravens and the Saints. The Saints were not impressive, but they are a good defensive team, and that's what you saw. They stifled the Bears, who are not a great offensive team, obviously. So I think Tampa, it's the last game on Sunday. Tampa, New Orleans will be an interesting one and show us a lot. But the Packers, who basically led the league in scoring and were second or third in points difference. The team with the best points differential is the Ravens. The team with the second best is the Saints, and the Packers were third in that. So, you know, I think I think in the AFC, the Ravens might be in with a shot. Although when you play one dimensional against Kansas City in Kansas City, that's going to be a bad omen because they could obviously come back and score you. But Green Bay, New Orleans, if that's what it becomes, or even Green Bay against Tampa in the battle of the 40 or 40 plus quarterbacks, neither of whom look as old as I do, obviously. But that would be a really good one. And, you know, the Saints, I think, are a better team defensively than Green Bay. But Green Bay is a better team offensively because of Aaron Rodgers. And because I think Zach Taylor doesn't get enough credit for going 13-3 2 years in a row with the same kind of team that Mike McCarthy had and couldn't make get more than 10 wins. It's a real accomplishment. And I wouldn't want to be going up to Green Bay, even with no fans there, next weekend to be playing them.
Mike, good stuff. Thanks a million. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, guys.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.